Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So many of you love Hillary. Many of you love Teddy. Not my dog, Ted. And so many of you love Donald. But the question is, if Trump wins 5 primaries today, as is predicted, for the sake of unity and for defeating the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party, shouldn't Cruz just drop out of the race? Simple question. 855-407-282. Because if he doesn't drop out of the race, why is he staying in? Because the system has been set up so that if he stays in, the party bosses just might steal the primary process away from the popular vote and give it to him, in order to make sure that Hillary wins and things go on as usual. That's how most of us analyze this, who have the capacity to analyze the game as it's being played. So, if Cruz doesn't drop out after today, why is he staying in, other than to make sure that Trump doesn't get the nomination? So therefore, whose side is he on? It doesn't make Cruz a bad guy. I mean, he's an aggressive, ambitious man. Otherwise, he wouldn't be in politics. He couldn't make it in the private sector as an attorney. Or he would be a private sector attorney making a lot of money. Don't give me the public servant garbage. I don't believe a word of it. Public servant, yeah. John Kerry's a public servant. And millions of dollars. $1 billion of the trust fund is in foreign tax havens. The public servant, John Kerry. Anyway, the point is a simple question. If Trump wins today, the 5 primaries, which you know the states they're in, do I have to read them to you? I will in a minute. Because my stations in these states are pretty big. I mean, Connecticut, WICC Bridgeport, XLM New London, DRC Hartford, MMV in New Haven, WWCO Waterbury. In Delaware, I'm on WGMD Salisbury. In Maryland, I'm on the powerhouse WMAL, Washington, D.C., Maryland, WCBC Cumberland, CBM Baltimore. In Pennsylvania, big state, Michael Savage, BLF, State College, BZU, Scranton, ILK, Wilkes-Barre, KVA, Lewiston, KZN, Hazleton, SBA, York, MLP, Milton, CNS, Latrobe, great beer out there. Rhode Island, Michael Savage is on WPRV. So the issue is 5 primaries, and everyone's predicting Trump sweeps. This is the real Super Tuesday. He's eliminated all the competition except one. And so I'm asking a very simple question. For the sake of party unity and for the sake of defeating, I don't know how to characterize Hillary other than saying Hillary Clinton. Because the two names together make for a whole. You just say Hillary Clinton, a number of words come to mind. Corrupt, criminal family enterprise. Retread, whatever you want to say. We know who she is. We know what she stands for. There's nothing new under the sun. Even progressives hate her. You know, here's a weird question for those of you out there. If Trump wins, for the sake of unity, should Cruz just drop out of the race? That's number one. Number two, if you are a Cruz supporter, as many of you may be, and Trump wins the primary, would you sit out the election, vote for Hillary, or vote for Trump? And why? This might be more telling than we imagine. Here's another question for those of you out there. If you are a person who knows the system is rigged and corrupt, and you're a diehard progressive, and you want to vote for Bernie, but you know he doesn't have a snowball's chance in Brooklyn, lasting more than 24 hours in Bensonhurst, would you vote for Donald Trump on the off chance that he just might upset the apple cart? I think that would be an interesting question for callers. I'd rather talk about that than transgender bathrooms. I mean, we could do that. Well, again, we can do the toilet show, pushing transgender bathrooms. Oh, the Target thing is a big story, but I'm not ready to get into that. I don't think the leftist fanatics ever thought this would happen. 500,000 Christians have signed a petition boycotting Target. They never thought that they would be hung by their own petard. You know, but turnabout is fair game. So maybe I'll get to it, maybe not. I'm not into the whole bathroom issue. I personally avoid public bathrooms almost at all costs. Unless it's a dire emergency, I go home. I try never to be farther than 15 minutes from a home restroom. I don't know. It's just in this day and age of immigrants and epidemics and the filth. They're just not clean anymore. Just horrible. Now we're going to get bathroom callers, and I don't want to do it. But, you know, as I said, Cato the Elder wrote that the average Roman is not interested in where the legions were. They're interested in the pebble in the shoe back home. This is a back home story, a whole bathroom story. It wasn't bad enough that they were filthy to begin with. Now I have to worry about this and that and the guy and that. Mesothelioma racket exposed, Columbia University name. You didn't call about that yesterday. You didn't call about the fact that the LGBT magazine editor was hacked to death by radical Muslims in Bangladesh. Yeah, no, that didn't resonate with you. I guess that didn't pass through the purple haze. So those are some of the questions. Because, I mean, I know where this is going to go. Who should elect the president, the people or the party apparatchiks, in plain English? So if you want to argue this one, I'm ready to take you all on. Who should elect the president? The primary system says that it's not something for the people to do. So the schmucks who stood in the sun for 5 hours in Arizona were idiots. Everyone who stood outside in New York were all morons. It should be decided by who? By a few people in the back room somewhere. You're arguing for what now? How could you argue that and say you're for Ted Cruz and you're anti-establishment when you're arguing the establishment point of view? How? Let me explain to you what I just said to you in case you missed it. Now, look, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that occasionally I do listen to another show or two. For a minute or two is about all I can take. I had a firm and fast rule from the beginning of my radio career of never listen to another radio show ever. Because what happens is, and I've heard it with people who've been copying me for years, is that you subconsciously pick up intonation, ideas, tones, and all sorts of things from the person that you're listening to, and you don't even know you're stealing from them. So I decided early on not to listen. But when I tune in now, what I hear are people spinning in circles. They're literally going in circles, either trying to have it both ways, trying to pretend that they're not arguing for the system when they are arguing for the system by defending Cruz, or they're trying to have it both ways by changing their position within the hour and taking both sides and saying they're not taking both sides, or they're just confused and they don't know what they're saying. But I know exactly what I'm saying, and that's why I'm asking you this question. It's a very serious question for this very serious time we're in. The primary system is what we're talking about. Trump says it's rigged. Cruz says it's not rigged. Okay, so you can put it, you take it either way that you want. So you get a situation in most states where the voters go, they vote in a primary, the popular vote prevails, that person gets the state. That person gets the delegates, so to speak. Then you have twisted, corrupt states like Colorado, Wyoming, where it's run by a few old ranchers who own the state. And they decide the people don't matter. Let the idiots stand out in a hailstorm. We don't care what they say. We pick the delegates in advance. We'll decide who gets them. So is that what you support now? So then why don't you eliminate the vote altogether? Just eliminate the vote. Get rid of it. After all, it's an antiquated system going back to the 1700s. What do we need a vote for? And by the way, most of you experts in politics don't realize the following. The Constitution has absolutely no mention of political parties. Did you know that? I don't know if you understand that, all you experts in political science. Where in the Constitution does it say there shall be a party called Democrats and a party called Republicans? Answer, nowhere. Okay, so that's a separate issue. But let's put that aside, because this is going to lead us down the road to the Electoral College, and I know where that's going to take us. Why was the Electoral College created? Does anyone know why? Should we get rid of the Electoral College? Why should we have an Electoral College? What method of electing the president best serves the people of the United States in this century? Because the Electoral College is a vestige of the 18th century. It absolutely stands in opposition to the principle of one person, one vote. Liberals would say the time has come to abolish it. I'm not telling you where I stand on it. I don't want to abolish it for one reason, because if it was one person, one vote, what happens? States like California and New York, which are predominantly filled with illegal immigrants and extreme left-wing fanatics, would nullify the votes of all the other 48 states by and large. That'd be the end of it. You wouldn't even have the reason to have an election. It would be decided almost immediately. And so, well, and in this sense, then the little state, a tiny little state, has as much power as a very big state. Is that what you want? Do you think that a few hundred thousand voters in Wyoming should have the same power as millions of voters in California when it comes to the Electoral College? Think about that one. Say, well, all right, states' rights then prevail. But at what, you know, say, at what cost, though? The result of the Electoral College is that in the state of Wyoming, the last I checked, there were like 200 and some odd thousand votes. And each elector represented 70,000 votes. In California, there were almost 10 million votes that were cast for 54 votes, which represented 179,000 votes per electorate. So, you know, you want to eliminate the Electoral College? I say no, because Obama's been stocking the big cities on the coastal, in the coastal cities, with illegal aliens who always vote. 99% will vote for a Democrat who promises them something for free. And he panders to them. And that's a trick, by the way, of the left wing. They've always done this in order to skew elections. But this is nothing new. This goes way, way back. So we have a lot to talk about if you want to really get into it. I mean, it's not the kind of thing that I normally do. I'm much more eclectic than this, than the Electoral College. And it bores me to death, frankly. When I hear people talking about it, I think I'm back in high school falling asleep. My eyes go dull. I don't know why I'm listening to this garbage. I'd rather talk about social issues. I'd rather talk about a bad television show. Anything. But I'm doing this because I'm actually interested in it now. For the first time in my entire life, I, Michael Savage, am actually interested in who should elect the president. Should it be delegates or should it be the people? So now many of you who pretended in your own head to be wild, crazy revolutionaries who wanted to throw over the system. Yeah, take the government back. Yeah. So the people went out and voted for Trump and you said they're wrong. Now you're sitting and arguing that they shouldn't have been able to vote at all. Well, it's fair. It's only fair that the delegates should do it. That's the way it's been done. You hear them arguing. I can't believe it. I just don't understand how they don't understand their hear their own voice. These are the people who have posed as revolutionaries, radical conservatives, mad at the system. They want to take the system back. They don't want those powerful Republican interests controlling the... No. We want the people's power. So people go and vote. Now they say the people can go to heck, you know, where they want them to go. No, we only want the party delegates to have the power. So which way do you want it? Better make up your mind, because let me tell you something. I'll tell it to you right now. And this you can take to the bank. Careers are being made and lost during this election. Many people underestimate the intelligence of the audience, and they think that they're stupid. Many people think that the audience is so fickle they don't remember what they say from one day to the next. They don't remember. They think that you, the audience, don't even listen to them. All you do is hear a voice. You're sort of like a dog. And you don't really know what anyone's saying. And they underestimate you. I don't see it that way. In fact, people who know me say, Savage, you have one problem, is you overestimate the audience's intelligence. And that may be maybe a defect of mine. I don't know. But I will bring up esoteric topics that I frankly think are not over the head, but they're not interested. Many people are not interested in the things I'm interested in. But it's why I'm in radio. In other words, I've made my name in radio by doing the odd stuff that interests me. It's called versatility, something that's missing in the conservative world. The conservative world is the most boring, stifling world in the entire universe. You can die. It's worse than watching paint dry. When you hear somebody wrapping themselves in the flag, you may as well just run for the hills. I'll be back in a minute to finish this incredible monologue on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. But it's a different time, I recognize that. But the fact is that certain things are the same and things don't really change. People want to vote. people who think want to have be part of the process that picks the mayor or the dog catcher or the president. Otherwise, they feel disenfranchised, like they don't know what country they're living in. And so we hear, well, okay, we want to bring democracy to the world. And so $3 trillion later, and cemeteries are filled with dead soldiers, maimed men whose heart, you can lose your heart looking at what happened to them, in order to give the misanthropes in Iraq the right to vote. Like suddenly I cared about 24 million Shiites who have always hated us. But that was what was worth it to George Bush and Halliburton. So 24 million Iraqis got the right to vote. And what happened as a result? We got shafted. We didn't get a barrel of oil. No reparations, nothing. Same with Kuwait. Went and rescued their behinds. And what did Kuwait give us? A stab in the back. Why? Because George Bush plunged us into a war that nobody wanted. Nobody wanted to go to war in Iraq. It was a big lie. And you say, well, what does this have to do with the election? Well, it has an awful lot to do with the election. Because since that war, people have felt a distemper toward the government, more so than ever in my life. It was the war in Iraq that fractured this nation in a way I've never seen it fractured. And if you think it's unique to America, you would be wrong. Because it's not unique to America. Most nations hate war. Most nations on earth are not militaristic. They're pacifists. They want to be left alone. Now, that brings us down to one man, one vote, or do you want party apparatchiks picking them for you? If you do, then why don't you just eliminate the vote altogether?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
And here I am, you know, I was never that interested in the nuts and bolts of politics. It bored me to death, to be honest with you. I hated it. I always figured the kids that went into the GO were the creeps. You remember those kids in high school, the creeps, who knew everything about Robert's Rules of Order, and they ran for office? I never liked them. I was always a misanthrope in that sense. I was an outsider. Always like, what are they doing? What are they getting so worked up running around with signs in the assembly? You know, vote for Billy, vote for Mary. I didn't care about it. I was never interested in that level of politics. Now, there are those who are. I mean, God bless them. Just I find it boring, so stifling. Worse than trigonometry on a hot June day, let me tell you. Every time I hear anyone talking about delegates or the electoral system and why it's good and why it's bad, I feel like I failed a course and it's August and I'm in summer school and there's no air conditioning and I want to get out of that room as fast as I can. It's just not really interesting to me. But here we are. We have to make it interesting to ourselves, boys and girls, in this classroom for one reason. Because you got people fooling you. They're duping you. They pretended to be wild, free, crazy revolutionaries who were going to take back the system from the corrupt Democrats, the corrupt Republicans. Then you wake up, and so you have an outsider, whether you like Trump or not. He's an outside candidate, not part of the system, not a senator, not a congressman, never held office, wild card billionaire businessman, very populist type, I would say as strong a nationalist as we have seen in 50 years in this country. I don't know who was a stronger nationalist running for office than him and got this far. Do you? Can you tell me one man who had more nationalist slogans than Trump in the last 30, 40 years? I don't know of one. And we all are responding to it. We're all craving a nationalist for a president. And that is anathema to the internationalists, to make it really simple for all of you out there. The internationalists who have selected Obama to run around the world trying to make it a one-world government, the same internationalists who selected the Pope, by the way, in secret meetings, this is a worldwide conspiracy to break down the borders of all nations, to eliminate the sovereignty of all nations, and to create a new world order, one-world government, where a group of unelected officials run the world. And so we have it now in a microcosm, in Colorado. You want that in the world? Now, the very same people who are arguing, saying that, oh, what happened in Colorado is fine. It's been in place since 1841 or whatever. So now, is that what you want for the world? No vote at all? So they're in a bind. The people who are pushing that on you are in a bind because they don't know which way to turn. They're smart people. They realize if they say that, then they're saying that they don't believe in the power of the vote. There's no reason for you to vote at all. is what they're saying. Turn it over to the parties. Let the party decide. So in other words, what you're doing is you're saying, let's go back to almost the days of slavery, where blacks were disenfranchised, blacks couldn't vote, women couldn't vote, and leave it to the people with money, and let them decide who should the president be, or who the president should be. So what method of electing the president best serves the people of the United States in this century right now? Okay, let's look at that. What's happened in the last 200 years to change the system that's been put in place? A lot has happened, right? Okay, let's see. Do you know what happened? Blacks won the constitutional right to vote in 1870. Women only got the right to vote in 1920. 18-year-olds got the right to vote in 1971. Senate races, which were subject to direct election, only happened early in the 20th century. Now, you're not telling me that today with the internet, with newspapers, television, radio, internet, you, the voters, can't see and hear candidates in a way that's different from that in 1787? The idea that you, the people, are not qualified to choose your president directly because you don't know who they are, because you're living in some remote part of America where you don't even get a newspaper. There were no newspapers around in those days, or let's say a one-off sheet that came around once a month. No radio, there was no television, certainly no internet. So if you go, well, how could you know who to vote? You don't know who these guys are. It could be a foreigner. So you know who the people are. Of course America has changed. Of course people can figure out who the people are who are running for office today. So the whole issue of who controls, who wins, or runs, rather, is the issue today. That's what we're arguing over. And that comes down to the delegate system, and it comes down to the Electoral College. So now I want to launch into something that many of you are going to try and lead me to, but I may as well do it anyway, because I don't want to play cat and mouse with my callers. The cruise bots are going to call the show and say, well, Mike, I've listened to you, and you're saying we should do away with the Electoral College, and I didn't say that. Well, are you saying the popular vote should prevail? Why, then Al Gore would be president. See, that I see that on the blog. They think that's smart. Well, there's an answer to that, too. Are you ready? Roll of drums. Maybe this country would have been better off if Gore had been given the presidency through the popular vote. Why do I say it? Because Bush was a disaster. The longer we look back upon what that man did to this country and the world, and the more history judges him, the worse he looks. History will not be kind to the Bush family, especially Bush 2, for plunging us into a war that fundamentally transformed America. Now, we hear that Obama wants to transform America, and he has, and he's doing it in ways that are very damaging to this country's psyche and soul. But make no mistake about it. The Iraq War fundamentally transformed this nation in a way that we have never seen. Well, we had not seen for many a year, and we haven't recovered from it yet. We're still wounded from what Bush did to this country. Not only was it a wildly unpopular war, but it was built on a house of lies. And the fact of the matter is, we were nothing but a mercenary army for the oil companies and for the Gulf states. We were a mercenary army for the Gulf states, plain and simple. We were a bunch of Hessians hired by the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, and the other fabulously fine people in these royal families, these dynasties. They used us, and Bush was their man. So you say, well, transforming America. Well, Bush fundamentally transformed America right then and there. So I would say that I say, well, what are you saying, Sam? I say, yeah, maybe we would have been better off if Gore had won. So you say, well, what do you mean we would have been better off? Well, let me ask you something. If Gore had won, because he won the popular vote, by the way, never forget that. If Gore had won, what would have happened? No Iraq war, number one. No Iraq war, number one, and Saddam Hussein would have been in power, and he would have crushed all of those terrorists who are now plaguing the world, because he was a maniac dictator who knew how to deal with the fanatical elements of the religion that he was certainly a member of, and he was a dictator, make no mistake about it, but he knew how to control the religious fanatics, and apparently Bush didn't like that. He didn't think it through. He played checkers when we needed someone who could play triple electronic chess. Bush was playing backgammon. with two pieces. Okay, so what else would have happened if Gore had been elected? Because there was no, let's say there was no electoral college, and it was based on a popular vote. No Iraq war. So you said, well, he would have pushed the lie of global warming. He probably wouldn't have gotten too far way back when. It was this whole environmental stuff was a lie. He couldn't have gotten as far as Obama's gotten years later. And moreover, I'll throw something else out if you want to play what if. If Gore had won, because he did win the popular vote in 2000, we wouldn't have Barack Obama. You haven't thought that through. There would be no Obama, because Gore would have been a one-termer. And that would have been the end of it. There would be no chance for an Obama had Gore won. So if you want to look backwards, you could say maybe Gore should have been the winner. Okay, but let's put that aside, because, you know, if doesn't make for a good talk show. You want to talk only about Trump and Cruz, Trump and Cruz, Trump and Cruz, Trump and Cruz. You remind me, you Cruz voters, remind me of the Ron Paul voters I had. They used to drive me crazy on radio. Ask my poor call screener. Look, they're smiling. They call the show up and go, Ron Paul, Ron Paul, Ron Paul, Ron Paul, Ron Paul, Ron. We had nuts. This went on for months and years. Ask anyone in talk radio. No matter what the topic was. You could be talking about a sexual topic. Ron Paul, Ron Paul, Ron Paul, Ron Paul. Same thing now with Ted Cruz. It's the same fanaticism. I see the same exact mentality. Ron Paul, Ron Paul, Ron Paul, Ron. Where is Ron Paul today? Hello? Does anyone know where he is? You don't even remember his name. You don't even remember his name! But you were fanatical about him. I say let the people decide right now. The people have said Trump should be the candidate against Hillary. They want a complete head-to-head with Hillary. And I am arguing today, very simply, I'm not going to be one of those people who play both sides against the middle and not let you know which side I'm on. I'm clearly on the side of the people. I know what the people want, because they want what I want. Because I was the first in the media to want it. And I was very clearly on the side of Trump for very good reasons, because he was the only one talking about borders, language, and culture. The others didn't really say it. They talked around it. There was no clear plan. Trump was very clear. We're going to build that wall. We're going to not let Muslims come in until we can figure this thing out. Who could argue with that? Why is that a racist thing to say when the Muslims who are rampaging across Europe because of the Bolsheviks like Angela Merkel are causing mayhem from one country to another in Europe? But your wonderful quislings in the Associated Press are not reporting it. They're not showing you what the Muslim refugees are doing in Europe and the mayhem it is causing, the social discord. And it's not being caused by the right wing. It's being caused by the Muslim waves being allowed into Europe. Period. End of story. That's the way it is. Don't try to change it for what it isn't and go along with Obama's big lie about the glories of multiculturalism. It's a disaster, a destructive disaster wherever it has been appeared, wherever it has appeared. Even the bums who created it in England were forced to admit 3 weeks ago the man who created the whole idea called Islamophobia admitted finally, maybe he was running for his life, that he did it specifically to upset the white European heterosexual Christian, and he said it's been a disaster. The ones who did it to the English in the Labour Party admitted they did it to rub the noses of the nationalists in multiculturalism and nullify their arguments, but they said it's been a disaster. Now suddenly they're sorry? They are traitors. And if there was a court for traitors, they should be number one on the docket. But I won't go there, because this is not a court of law. This is all simply a radio show heard around the world via the internet. That's a little side note, but you know, we're known as talk show hosts heard in America, whether you're number one, two, or three, four, five, doesn't really matter. What matters is the show is heard widely, widely broadcast, widely heard, lots of stations, prime time on the East Coast, and picked up on the internet around the world. So we are members of what do they call it? They used to call it in England. I remember when I was in Fiji, a member of the cabinet, a member of the parliament without portfolio. We have no portfolio. We're not members of any party, nor should we become a member of any party. I've never been a member of a party. I've always been an independent. I have never worked in government. I have never held a government job. Well, once I was a welfare worker in New York. And I was a teacher in New York. That's right. That's a public job. But I never worked for government. I was never an apparatchik behind the scenes in any government, and I'm proud to say that. So having said that, I'm an American citizen, son of an immigrant, and I wake up and suddenly I see people identifying themselves as conservatives calling for no elections, basically saying people's votes shouldn't count. I say, wait a minute. We went to war in Iraq so they could put their finger in purple dye and go and vote? Remember that, how proud Bush was that all those Iraqis had purple ink on their fingers to show they voted? Wow, that was really worth Mrs. Smith's son's life. I'm glad Mrs. Smith got a flag for that one. That's nice she has that flag for her mantle, that her son was blown up with an IED in Mosul. That was really great that they sacrificed so much blood to take the Sunni triangle, only to see now that is the heart of worldwide terrorism. That's really great. That was really great. So, in other words, we went to war so they could vote. And now we wake up and we hear people who were on the side of the war saying we shouldn't vote. We should leave it to party apparatchiks. So I'm very clear why I picked Trump from the beginning. Borders, language, culture. No other candidate not only has espoused as close to that as you're going to get from him, but has a chance to win against Hillary. I will say it again. Cruz cannot beat Hillary head to head. He's unelectable. And I don't want to go into the negatives on why. I don't need to bash Cruz to build up Trump. That's not my intent. And so I go back to my primary point, because I'll ask it as a question. If Trump wins today the five primaries, for the sake of unity, should Cruz just drop out of the race? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It's the Savage Nation. Welcome back. We're talking about such boring stuff that I have to play a little Charlie Parker and reminisce a bit here and there. Five primaries today. Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island. And we're discussing the whole issue of, do we have one man, one vote? Do we have people voting for us? And who's arguing for the people's not voting? The Cruz people are arguing people's votes shouldn't matter. That's what they're saying. Now, many of you will be shocked to learn the following. Do you know, are you aware of the fact that the popular vote for the president is not embedded in the Constitution? I'll say it again. A popular vote for the president, direct or indirect, does not appear in the Constitution, and therefore theoretically could disappear in any state or all the states at any time. They could eliminate it. So you Cruz people better be very careful what you're wishing for. You're saying that the delegate system is great because it worked for you in Colorado and Wyoming. So maybe you want to have the Republicans have a new convention and vote to eliminate the popular vote altogether. There should be no votes for the primary and no votes for the presidency, and just let the smart people who run the country behind the scenes anyway pick a president. Is that what you want? Well, as Mark Twain said, if voting made any difference, they wouldn't let us do it. Yes, indeedy, the old jester, Mark Twain. If voting made any difference, they wouldn't let us do it. They wouldn't let us do it. Old Mark, he had it right. Samuel Clemens. Old Samuel Clemens. If voting made any difference, they wouldn't let us do it. It's the Savage Nation. Be here, period.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And one Charlie Parker piece I don't like. Welcome back to The Savage Nation. If voting made any difference, they wouldn't let us do it, said Mark Twain. And I know many of you still feel the same way, especially watching the manipulations and shenanigans of the old Republican power structure. Yes, indeedy. So the questions are, if Trump wins today, should Cruz drop out for the sake of unity? And I haven't asked this question, but it's worthy of asking. Let's say the party steals the nomination from Trump and gives it to Cruz at the second or third, whatever they do, their backroom deals. Would you vote for Cruz if the RNC stole the nomination from Trump? I didn't ask that one yet. That's a good one. I'm not sure I would vote. I don't think I would vote. I'm not positive I'd vote. I wouldn't feel very good about it. But I certainly don't want Hillary to be elected because the things she has said up until now are terrifying. I think it would be the end of America as we know it. I think she would drive the last nail into the coffin. We're hanging by a thread as it is after what Barry has done to us. I don't think we can suffer through another 4 years of the tyranny of the radical left, this tyranny of the minority that has run rampant over all of our values and all of our strengths and turned us into basically a basket case in the world. I have other questions, but we have so many calls, there's no point in asking them. I have good sound. I haven't played the sound. Who should elect the president is what we've been talking about. I've been asking you whether we should eliminate the vote altogether, since it rarely matters. Gore won the popular vote in 2000. He lost the election. The system was rigged against him. You could say the libs were right. It was stolen. But there's an upside to the fact that if Gore had won, we wouldn't have been dragged into Iraq with a phony war. That's a good thing, isn't it? And then we wouldn't have Obama. I'm positive that had Gore actually won the presidency and had it not been stolen from him, we wouldn't have Obama. Obama would be an unknown factor in this whole puzzle. He never would have been, never, impossible. Because we would have had 4 or 8 years of the liberalism of Gore. That would have been the end of it. Then we would have had some moderate Republican come along. God, we can't go ifs, okay? But we'd have no Obama. He was a fluke. Obama is as much a result of Bush's wars as anything else, incidentally. By the way, you can put that down in cement. One of the main reasons Obama was so appealing when he came along, he promised transparency, he lied. He promised fairness, he lied. He promised we'd have no wars, he lied. I mean, everything he said was, he said what he had to do to get elected, just like you're hearing now. That's what they all do. And that's in that sense. So, anyway, let's not look at what if and this and that. And if my Zeta had, you know what, should be my Zeta. That's an old joke. I can't tell it on radio. It's an ethnic joke that has... It's something along the line of if my grandmother had, you know what, she'd be my grandfather. And it translates very well, but I can't say it on the radio because it's very funny, but I don't think people would understand it in the way it should be understood. It's a benign joke. You start an if this, if that, if this. So we used to say to people who gave you the if this, if that, you know, if Karl Marx was this and George Bush was that. So you look at the guys who would do things like that and say, yeah, if my grandmother had, you know what, she'd be my grandfather. That was a cynical New York answer to that kind of guy. So what's the point of playing that game? Polls, delegates, tonight, oh my God. My God, thank God I won't be watching it. Here's the thing. We know already Trump's way ahead in all five over Cruz. I'm asking you a simple question. If Trump wins big today, why shouldn't Cruz drop out for the sake of the nation? Never mind party unity. You know, here's the thing. If Cruz really cared about America, he would drop out. And he would say, for the sake of the party, for the sake of the country, to make certain that we defeat Hillary Clinton, I am dropping out today and I'm throwing all my delegates to Donald Trump and I'm going to work with him. I am going to work with him in order to make sure that Hillary is stopped. Now, wow, what an electrical shock would go through our systems if someone with dignity appeared like that. But you're not going to hear that. And you can figure out why. Now let's take some calls. I have not taken one call in an hour. I'm very loquacious today. It's a product of a number of things. I can give you the reasons, but you're not interested. And what's the point of telling you anyway? You'll only make a joke of me. Why should I let you make a joke of me? WABC Mitch, Channel 5. Go ahead, please.
I got a novel approach. Why don't we go back to the old days? Because I see that we got too many people with no skin in the game making any decisions. So why don't only landowners be able to place a vote and make that vote mandatory?
Only property owners. So let's see. Why don't you go a step further? Maybe blacks shouldn't vote. Women shouldn't vote either.
Well, blacks own land. Women own land. What does that have to do with
it? Oh, I see. So it's not a race. Okay, so you're going back to landowner. Okay, so everyone who lives in an apartment shouldn't vote?
Anybody who doesn't have any skin in the game, I don't think. I mean, they can vote if they'd like.
I'm trying to reason with you. You're saying only property owners should vote. Okay, I'm taking you seriously. So you're saying that anyone who rents an apartment should not vote. Isn't that what you just said?
That's correct, unless, of course, they own a business.
All right, so Okay, because you're saying because otherwise they're just going to vote themselves whatever the demagogue promises them. I understand that argument. First of all, it'll never happen, but it's a funny, facetious argument because I can make another one, which I think is more rational, which is based on intelligence. And that would be, you have a baseline of a 90, let's say a baseline of 100 IQ. Anyone who has lower than 100 IQ can't vote, right? So you have a baseline of 100. And for every IQ point above 100, you get one vote. So if you have 120 IQ, you get 20 votes. If you have 150 IQ and you're a genius, you get 50 votes. If you're Michael Savage, you get 67 votes. But the thing is, in other words, let's say the average person has 107, 110 IQ, they get 7 to 10 votes. And people who are, let's say, at the baseline get only one vote. The 100 IQ gets one vote. Why not make it based on IQ?
No, I don't think that's right.
Well, why is that any different than your argument that property owners should vote? Does owning property mean you have intelligence? What if you inherited it?
No, that's fine, too. It has nothing to do with that.
But I'm saying if you're trying to change the rules, then change it to people's intelligence level, the IQ. But, of course, you say, oh, the IQ's racist. It's written by people who want to disenfranchise people. Right. Sure. Like, oh, you don't have an IQ. There's no validity to an IQ test. Anybody can fly a combat jet in combat. Anyone can fly a jet in combat. Anyone can do neurosurgery. Sure, absolutely. That's right. Yeah, that jive really matters. No, IQ really does matter. Of course it matters. You eliminate all standards. You know what you wind up with? Nothing. Zero. That's where we're devolving under Obama with this nonsense and rubbish about equality and everyone's equal. Everyone is not equal. Where's it written that everybody has an equal IQ? Can you show me where that's written?
No.
Answer. It's like talking to myself now. No, everyone does not have an equal intelligence level. Some people are innately more intelligent than others. It's not limited to race, by the way. So let's put that aside for 2 seconds. Every statement you make, you have to double-check yourself. Did I say something that will offend the race industry? Okay? My favorite teacher of all time was a black math teacher in the 7th grade. I was actually analyzing myself the other day, saying, let me think about this. My favorite math teacher, I'll never forget him to this day, 7th grade, I remember this to this day, tall black guy, was such a kind, gentle man, and he explained algebra to me. I understood it. He was my favorite math teacher. Who was my favorite math teacher in college? Chinese woman. So I'm thinking about, no, I was never really bigoted in the sense of learning. I learned from those who taught me best. So IQ has nothing to do with race. But I think it's an important factor. Why should an idiot be allowed to vote? You see, I finally have an answer for idiots who try to, like, put down conservatives or Republicans or Trump. In the rare occasion that I let anyone talk to me at all, random people, the rare occasion, if I'm in a certain neighborhood one day a week or so and I run into some schmendricks walking around with bags of dog dew in their hand, I can't talk to men slinging. I can't look at it. I actually have a thing. It's like bathrooms. Maybe I need an analyst. I can't look at it. I get nauseous. I want to puke. I don't take any man seriously. He's walking with a bag of dog crap in his hand. So one of them says to me, dumb Trump, dumb Trump, dumb Trump, dumb Trump. So all I did was smile as I went by my bicycle. And I really, you know, I could have said something along the lines of, I hear that ignorance is bliss. But I didn't even say that. But should he be allowed to vote? I mean, someone without any idea what the election is about? Well, you can make 100 different rules of who should be allowed to vote. None of them will hold up. So we made it universal. Everyone can vote. And that's why we have Obama. And because everyone can vote, that's why Hillary's even a candidate. Otherwise, she'd probably be in the slammer. If we had a legitimate judiciary and a legitimate media, this woman would not be running for office. She would be running from officers. Very Shakespearean. I like that. Very good. That'll engender me greatly if she becomes president. I may have to move to Iceland and open Savage's Icelandic bar. That's if they would have me. I don't know if I'm allowed in. It could be some reason I'm banned in Iceland. I'd rather move to Iceland. Okay, let me not go there now about where I'm going to move if she becomes president. I love all of those people who I really despise who are going to leave the country if Trump wins. Oh, God. Please, Donald. Can I pay their ticket? Can I be there? I'll buy them first class. Rosie O'Donnell, first class to any country on earth if you don't come back for 10 years. Whoopi Goldberg, 2 first-class tickets to anywhere on earth if you don't come back ever. So I never have to look at you again. That's not so bad. What a deal that would be. They're not going to leave. Where are they going? Grandstanders. Rotting guava fruit on a jungle floor. A bunch of them. But let's not go there either. So I asked these questions. WABC Michael has a comment to make on Channel 6. Channel 6 from WABC. Michael, go ahead, please.
I'm up at 4:30 in the morning. I have a neighbor. I come home at 4:30 at night. He's in the back. I don't know. He has a canvas. He's painting. I ask him, who are you going to vote for? Bernie Sanders.
Wait, hold on. I like what you're saying, but I didn't hear. You have a neighbor who does what? He canvases, paints?
Yeah, he paints. He does some pottery in the backyard.
Oh, an artiste. I get it.
Yeah, he's a very nice guy. But I'm like,
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
He goes, oh, I'm going to vote for Bernie Sanders. I said, well, that makes a lot of sense because you don't really work, so you don't have any skin in the game. Because I agree with the last call. You don't worry about taxes. I know you won't admit to me you're getting a government check.
Well, Michael, is he a retired teacher on a pension?
Is he a retired teacher? No, he's not a day older than 25, 26.
Oh, but he's an artiste. What's he living on, an inheritance?
I don't really get that personal. Then I'm in a ridiculous conversation with the guy.
Well, okay, but if he's a neighbor who's home all the time doing art in the backyard, either he's living on an inheritance, or his girlfriend or wife is paying the rent, or he's selling marijuana somewhere. What else is he doing for a living?
It could be all of the above.
So you're saying he shouldn't vote, but maybe he would say you shouldn't vote because he doesn't like the color of your hair.
I that's a possibility, and I'd accept that because that's his opinion. I just don't understand if people don't understand just the tax bracket, just getting taxed with getting a check.
No, I agree. One of the reasons I would never vote for Hillary is because she wants to raise my taxes. That's the number one reason I would never vote for her. Here's the thing. She certainly represents the power structure and the rich people of America. That's who she hangs with. Okay? So you say, well, they're not going to pay more taxes if she wins. No, because they've got the tax structure set up, so they pay almost no taxes. I did that show 2 weeks ago or a week ago. The Martha's Vineyard crowd, they don't pay taxes. I pay 39.6% Fed, 15% state. I'm choking on taxes. I hate taxes. I pay straight up retail. I hate the state tax. They push me one more point, I'm leaving the state. They'll say, good riddance. Good for you, okay? Good for you. All of us earners who are paying 15%, if we flee the state of California, who will be left? Google, they don't pay any taxes. What does Mark Zuckerberg pay? You think he pays 39.6% with his triple Irish, triple Dutch methodologies? You know that these people are not paying straight up taxation.
What a shame.
Yeah, no, it is a shame. The whole thing's a scam. So Hillary will not raise taxes on those who know how to hide it, like John Kerry. I linked an article on michaelsavage.com that I first saw this morning on Drudge from the Daily Caller. Kerry and the Hines family have millions invested in offshore tax havens. Can you believe this? The guys who speak about equality and fairness and Obama, we should all pay our fair share, they're hiding their money. Michael, do you want a copy of Teddy and Me or Government Zero?
Either or, I would accept either or. Government Zero.
Okay, you got Government Zero since you said or. AWE, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Why don't we just eliminate free speech? Because after all, we don't know as much as the pundits. I think that only Wolf Blitzer and Anderson Cooper should speak for us. And I think anyone who speaks... speaks at all about politics might be subject to some kind of fine, penalty, or going to prison, as in China, because they're considered threats to the social order. So, I mean, if you want to take this delegate argument to the next level, I think we should eliminate the First Amendment, freedom of speech. That's antiquated. What, with all of the people with opinions out there? We should turn it over to the party regulars, the apparatchiks in the Republican Party, and those in the Democrat Party who know these things, and only let them speak. And eliminate popular speech, like the popular vote. It shouldn't be one man, one opinion. It should be delegates. You should turn to delegates like Wolf Blitzer for your opinion. The way it's done in the Soviet Union in the old days, the way it's done today in China, where they arrest anyone who expresses an opinion that the government doesn't agree with. That's where you're going with the argument. The best argument against democracy is a five-minute conversation with the average voter, said who? Winston Churchill! Did you know that? Yes, indeedy.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You can't see a painting. You see the garbage they're buying, the people with money, the Google Schmenders? I mean, I go to galleries. You talk to gallery owners. They don't know what they're buying. Garbage smeared with a machine on a canvas. That's what they're putting on their walls. They have no taste. Nothing. The robber barons, what they've created. I love people who say, oh, robber barons. They go back to the old days. And they name robber barons of the 1880s, the railroad guy. No, the robber barons of today are Google, Facebook, Microsoft. Those are the robber barons of today. How come no one's figured that out? Why do I say a thing like that? And I have to add in my opinion. In my opinion, the robber barons from today are these companies because they don't pay their fair share of taxes. We all know what we're living through. We're living through an age where the greatest wealth in the history of mankind has been accumulated by people who don't deserve it, who don't pay their fair share of taxes. And they're saying that we in the middle class who do pay our fair share aren't paying it. So they hire a guy like Obama, a salesman for them, to run around the country making you think that guys like me are the ones who are not paying my fair share, when it's they who are not paying their fair share because they go in and out of the White House left and right. Take a look at who went in and out. Al Sharpton and the guy who runs Google. What do you think they're talking about? They're talking about how to avoid taxes and how to run the world. They're so powerful that they refused to answer the FBI and break open the iPhone to see what was in it. That's how strong they are. The arrogance of the Caesar who runs it, that guy, he thinks he's more powerful than he is. He is the president. Guy Cook, he has more power than Obama does in terms of the purse strings. Are you kidding me? That's why Obama listened to him. Who do you think put him in office? So anyway, the point is there's a lot of social dissent in America right now. A lot of it has to do with these, I almost said gangsters. We talked about green gangsters yesterday. Do you know how many billions of dollars are stolen a year by people in the green gang business? You don't have any idea, but we try to expose it to you. Then you got these companies who are not paying their fair share of taxes, using offshore tax havens and all sorts of schemes created by the IRS for men like them. And they're trying to say that it's guys in the middle, like you, perhaps, or women who run a little business and make $200,000 to $500,000 a year, or $200,000 to $1 million a year, they're saying you don't pay your fair share? You mean 39-40% plus New York State tax, New York City tax, if you live there isn't enough for them? See, they're trying to take it out of the middle class, not out of those who are making the billions, see, and not paying their fair share. But my friends, it is enough that the people know there was an election. The people who cast the votes decide nothing. The people who count the votes decide everything, said Joseph Stalin. That was a great time in Russian history, wasn't it? Yeah, he said, the people who cast the votes decide nothing. The people who count the votes decide everything. So if you look into the vote counting technology that's being used in America, you're going to be shocked to find out that some of it is done by foreign firms, owned in cahoots with some very shady characters, both abroad and here in America. That's right. So let's just talk amongst ourselves about the election. We see a guy like Trump surging over everyone on the Republican side due to the popular vote. And then we have the strange phenomenon of a man who was posed as an outsider, Ted Cruz, and maybe originally he was, but he certainly isn't acting like it now. Here's this poseur, Ted Cruz, posing as an outsider, trying to stop the actual outsider by saying he's not an outsider, he's a charlatan, and that he's the real outsider. And he's saying, well, the popular vote doesn't really matter. What matters is the delegates, because they've been in power, empowered for 100, 150 years. That's how it's done. And don't complain about it. So how can he claim to be an outsider when he's disenfranchising people who stood outside in the sun to vote? What's he saying? It shouldn't matter? That's what he's saying. It shouldn't matter. So there's the paradox of the Ted Cruzites. And so let's bring it down home and get it over with already. I'll say it again. Today is Tuesday. There's five primaries. Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island. It's thought that Trump's going to sweep all five. So you got spokesmouths for Cruz having the nerve to get up today and say, well, it's expected that Trump will win, but it doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter at all. It's been expected. And how could you say a thing like that and expect anyone to believe the next thing you say the very next day? But they're saying it. I read this stuff. I can't believe what I'm looking at. If Trump sweeps five today, I think, for the sake of not only the Republican Party, the cohesion, but for the sake of the nation, Cruz should respectfully make a big speech tomorrow, and Kasich, and say that for the sake of the nation, they want to make certain that a conservative Republican wins, Donald Trump, and they're throwing their delegates to him, and they'll do everything they can to make sure that they're elected, because they don't want Hillary Clinton to win, because it would be a disaster for America. Then I would know Cruz is for real. Otherwise, I don't think he's for real. How's that? Does that work for you? What do you think about that? Now, I don't know if you want to talk about it, but I think it's a good one. WABC Paul, welcome to the program. What's your opinion?
Cruz and Kasich have no choice. They have to drop out. And lawyer Ted should know better. He's an attorney. He understands the power of the precedent. And when Walker did poorly early on, he dropped out. Rubio loses Florida, he dropped out. And why did they drop out? Well, for no other reason other than they couldn't win. So for him to stay on just shows how corrupt the system is. He has no choice. He has to drop out.
You're saying what is logically correct for the sake of the party in America. Yes, he should drop out after today because he cannot win mathematically. But you and I also know he won't drop out. Isn't that correct?
Unfortunately, he probably won't. But the sad part is it's so inconsistent. And he's an attorney. I mean, Kasich, he's just a hanger-on. He wants to be VP, and he's just, you know, hanging out. But Cruz purportedly is intellectual. He's an attorney. He believes in the power of the precedent, and yet he's staying on. And it's clear the only reason anybody has ever dropped out is because they had no chance of winning.
All right, but we know that after today, if Trump takes all five primaries, mathematically, Cruz cannot win. Only way he could win is if the party bosses steal it from Trump at one of the conventions on the first, second, or third vote, whatever they do back there. That boring stuff that determines who will actually be the nominee. And how anyone can support party bosses picking the candidate and call themselves a conservative is beyond me.
There's no precedent for it, though. The only precedent for a contested convention is if there is really a contested convention, which means that there are two candidates that are close together in terms of the delegate vote count. Right now, we don't have that. So for him to stay on is completely inconsistent, and it goes against precedent, and it shows what a fraud he is. And it's unfortunate. It's sad.
I assume, and I'm not being facetious, that you are a supporter of Trump. Is that correct?
I used to be a supporter of Cruz. I'm a supporter of Trump now, yes.
Okay, so why did you switch allegiances? Your allegiance, rather.
Because I saw, well, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty just like you did, but I saw just how fake the system is. And it needs to be, colon therapy, something to clean it.
Yeah, it needs a little deep massage.
It needs something.
But look, Paul, you're an articulate, intelligent man. How can people who call themselves conservatives be arguing that it's perfectly fine for delegates to choose a nominee in the state of Wyoming or in the state of Colorado, for example? How can they do that with a straight face without understanding that they're lying?
It's the same reason liberals do what they do, and why my sister and those that I respect, very intelligent people, are liberal. Same reason, and that's because of elitism. The conservative elites feel that Trump, the way he projects himself, is beneath them. And
So in other words, even though he's a billionaire who dresses well and has a gorgeous wife and has all his property, he's not good enough for them?
Absolutely. Intellectually. It's the same.
Yeah, I've heard the same. Hey, by the way, Paul, it's familiar to me because I've heard it myself for 22 years. Oh, that's savage. He's the worst thing in the world for the conservative movement. He's terrible. How dare he? Speaks like a truck driver. Speaks like a longshoreman from New York. We can't have him in the party. I've heard the same thing, Paul. It's called bigotry. You know that, don't you?
Absolutely. Read Marshall. Marshall McLuhan and how he deals with these issues of recognizing patterns. In the digital media, people recognize patterns very differently, and it's not like the linear where you're dealing with newsprint. And for those that are of a certain stature, highly educated, I'm an attorney, for example, that are Trump supporters, they see the patterns, and they see what's happening, and there's a clarity of thought that even the elitists, the conservative elitists, don't see. And I think that's...
But wait, where... Hold it. You lost me somewhere. The clarity of thought comes through where, where does it come through best?
Pattern recognition. In digital media right now, Marshall McLuhan said this years and years ago. He said digital media is going to allow for a pattern recognition that you don't normally see if you're in tune to print media. And
hold on. When you say digital media, what do you mean? You mean radio or television or what?
No, I mean a combination of that. I'm talking about online media. I'm talking about anything that you're now...
But wait a minute. How does online printed word differ from printed word with ink?
Because of the juxtaposition of the imagery and understanding so many of the information that's now thrown your way, you have no choice to do pattern recognition. And when you do that, you become a different type of intellectual. You're able to perceive things a little bit differently. And a lot of folks that respond to Trump, whether they're educated or not educated, are now able to see in that intellectual light a little bit better. There's a lot of material that's written about Marshall McLuhan that talks to this issue.
Okay, so since you seem to be a student of this field, enter talk radio. What about the pattern recognition of the messaging that comes out of my voice? What do you hear?
That's exactly it. I mean, you hit it nail right on the head. I mean, what you do is the pattern recognition to such a high level, and you don't even recognize it. You don't even know it when you're doing it. And you're
Are you sure I don't know it?
No, you say you're able to talk in in concrete terms, to visualize, and that sounds like it. What I'm talking about is at even a higher level. It's the pattern recognition allows for the intellectual thought process that doesn't currently exist if you're just focused on print media. If you just
No, I understand what you're saying. Absolutely. What I've said is I speak in pictograms the way Chinese speak the way I do. They speak in pictograms. They write in pictograms. I'm sure you're aware of that. That's why the Chinese languages are so much more complex than the Western languages, because each letter is a drawing of something, and they're far more letters. But I speak in pictograms, as you well know, so my messaging is much different than people may imagine. However, the way I put my pictograms together is purely intuitive. Now let's do a jump. Why do you think I've been playing Charlie Parker today? I think you can pretty much follow that logic, correct?
Well, the way jazz is in general, it's
pure intuition. It's pure intuition. Many of these jazz musicians who were geniuses could not even read a note of music. Did you know that?
I know a lot of them, and the same thing with Jimi Hendrix and others.
All right, so in many, many ways, people understand that what I'm doing is verbal jazz on this program, but let's forget me for the minute. How could a guy like myself, who I think is kind of really heavily tuned into politics, I've written so many best-selling books, I've studied this in and out, I know what conservative means, I don't need anyone to define it for me, Borders, Language, and Culture says it for me. Why am I a Trump fan? Because he's the only one who addressed the border, the mishmash of the language, and the destruction of our culture as closely as anybody I've ever seen in politics in my time. That's why I've decided to throw my radio show at him in his favor. That doesn't mean that I expect anything from him. I've not been promised. I keep repeating it. And the thing is that if he wins, and by the way, in a head-to-head election, talk about patterns, I personally think it would be a landslide for Trump over Hillary. Are you there? What do you think about that? If it was head-to-head Trump versus Hillary, despite the lies that are coming out of the Wolf Blitzers and the fake pollsters and the whole media academic establishment, I personally think in the popular vote, Trump would win by a landslide over Hillary. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Why do you think they're trying to take him down?
That's exactly right. That's why the Cruz, Bush, Republican faction wants him down. That's exactly right. because they know it would be a landslide, and it would be a mandate to get rid of the old trash, to sweep it away. And they're terrified. The contractors are terrified. The lobbyists are terrified. The government workers are afraid that they're going to be purged. They understand what's going to happen after this landslide. There'll be a call for our house cleaning from the top to the bottom. My friend, I'm sending you Government Zero. What an articulate caller that was. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. What a caller we had. I mean, that was like a one-off. I'm never going to get a call like that again. Every once in a while, we get one. But here's another one coming up on the Savage Nation. Barbara on WVNN in Alabama, line 9, fire away. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just wanted to comment on why should we have the party bosses choose the candidates. And that's because these are primaries. I mean, everybody gets to vote in the general election. And one of the problems that we've had is...
Wait, hold it. So you're saying we should eliminate primary voting is what you just said. The people who stood out in the sun shouldn't have done that. It was just a sham. There should be no voting at all, and only the party apparatchiks should pick the candidate?
No.
That's what you just said. You said the party bosses should choose the nominee. That's what you just said.
Yes, they should, because they are...
So wait, so you're calling for the elimination of the popular vote in primaries. Is that what you really believe?
No, they're not choosing the...
But you just said that. You can't have it both ways. You sound like you're listening to talk radio now. You got people in talk radio trying to have it both ways. Which way is it? People shouldn't vote in a primary, or they should? Barbara, which way?
People should vote in the primary, yes. However...
But then you just said the party bosses should then decide. So they should what, nullify the vote? Oh, my God, this woman is a true believer. She's listening to too much talk radio. She thinks the two opinions are the... Differing opinions are the same.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Yeah, it's too much heroin in this one, but it's beautiful. It's culturing. Well, I don't know what he was on, but it's definitely not talk radio drive time. Very sweet, but I'm not sitting in a chair somewhere sipping on some wine. I'm drinking a diet soda after eating a Japanese takeout lunch. I had my power lunch just now. The reason I like Japanese food is there's nothing there. So it's kind of a diet. If I get salmon teriyaki from the local Japanese restaurant, there's no salmon there. It's a hint of salmon. But I like the salad. I like the rice. I like the spices. I mean, I like the stuff that stimulates me. So here I am, hour 3, still going strong. Don't know where it comes from, but I'm not going to fight with it. Every day I get up and I say, all right, primaries, 5 primaries today. What am I going to talk about? Well, it's pretty clear what I'm going to talk about today, which is the 5 primaries, which every predictor says Trump is going to sweep. So the logical question is, then why are the Schmendricks like Cruz staying in? Mathematically, he can't win. So what's he in it for? Because, well, you know why. Because he doesn't want to give up, number one. Number two, you don't know how much money is involved in these campaigns. I was approached 2 or 3 years ago by someone, I will never mention who, I never disclose my sources, who said, Savage, you know, you have a big audience. You want to get involved with one of these PACs because you can make a fortune. I said, what are you talking about? You know how much money is being driven by these PACs into the media? If you ever knew what was going on, I think you'd be shocked to see how corrupt the system really is. So that brings us back to the issue of whether Cruz should drop out. I think he should for the sake of the party and the victory over Hillary Clinton. It's logical. He drops out, him and Kasich give a joint press conference. They say, look, it's pretty clear mathematically we can't win. We don't want to block Trump. He's the popular choice. We're going to work with Donald. We're going to make sure that this progressivism is stopped. And that's it. That would be great. That would be a great day. But you're not going to hear that. And that's because the power structure is freaking out. Trump represents an earthquake. And no one likes an earthquake. The Bush family is the equivalent of the royal dynasty of the Republican Party. And no royal dynasty wants to give up power, whether it be in ancient Egypt or in modern America. And the Bush family is the royal dynasty of today. Now, I'm sure they're a great family, a wonderful American family with a great American family story to be told, especially the patriarch of the family. The man served in World War II. He was a great man. Liberal Republican at that, but a great man. The son, I wouldn't put in the great category. I'm sorry. And history will be very unkind to Bush, too. Very, very unkind. And I must tell you that they're behind this entire Cruz phenomenon, which, although initially they hated Cruz because he was an outsider originally, now they're for him because they know that he could stop Trump and they could use him to make sure Hillary wins. Never forget the famous pictures of the Bush family with the Clintons. Never forget those pictures. Power structure. Seamless interchange between the two parties. One party system, two names, let the fools think that there's an election. Because it doesn't matter, nothing will change. You're going to get a lot more social progressivism, you know, with one or the other, but fundamentally, on many levels, it doesn't change at all. But Bush, too, made a huge error. And I remember writing in 05, in my book at the time, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, I remember positing the question that it could be that this is the greatest military blunder in American history. And I said, I hope it is not. Unfortunately, it turned out to be the greatest military blunder in American history, the invasion of Iraq. And it was built on a house of lies. We were told it was weapons of mass destruction. It wasn't. It was made up. And then we were told by the left it was war for oil, which turns out was correct. It was war for oil. The problem was it was war for Iraq and Kuwait oil. They got the oil, not us. What did we get out of it? All these trillions of dollars and all these dead men? For what? What did we get out of it? So history will not be very kind to Bush, too. And they don't want to let go of the control that they have, in my estimation. And right now, they'd rather take a second best. They wanted their son to be president, the fellow from Florida, whose name I forgot. Jeb. He lost. Trump made mush of him. I mean, he really, you know, you watch cage fights. This was awful. Jeb got really beaten up pretty bad. I was watching a collection last night of, I don't know, I stumbled on it on YouTube. I was bored at 11:30 at night. And I went from a fight I was watching on Showtime to, on the side there, they show you the greatest knockouts in MMA history and MMA fighters going crazy. Some of them are just so bloody. Bush got bloody, got beaten up, and the family's very mad at Trump. Who is this imposter from New York, this slick artist from Manhattan? Who does he think he is? He's not even in the system. And so now you see them rallying behind Ted Cruz because they feel he's the only one who can stop him. And in doing so, they, of course, know they're very smart people. They ran the world for so long. They still are, no doubt, behind the scenes. They're very smart, so they figure we'd rather have Hillary, who's a known quantity. We can do business with her. They're afraid they can't do business with Trump. They don't know who he is. They have no contacts with him. They don't know how to reach him. There's no way to reach the guy. They don't know who he is, where he comes from. They see his buildings and hotels, but they don't know how to reach him. Nor do they fear they couldn't do business with him. Of course, they're wrong. They will be able to do business, but they won't be in control, as they would be with someone within the system like Ted Cruz, who is a sitting senator who knows how the system works. So let's stop with, is he an outsider or an insider? I heard the whole nonsense. Originally posed as an outsider, so he won in Texas. Good for him. And he did stay up late nights with the filibusters. That's great. Got him an awful lot. Now that he's facing a real outsider, he's looking like the insider. So what does it really matter? What really matters is who's going to defeat Hillary Clinton. Do you want more of this social progressivism or not? Do you want higher taxes, yes or no? Do you want a further meltdown of our borders? Do you want more illegal aliens pouring across the border? Do you want no language whatsoever? Do you want a Tower of Babel? Do you want a total meltdown of our culture? Because you're going to get all of that with Hillary. Not from her per se, but from the lunatics around her. With Trump, we have a high opportunity to have the opposite happen. It's that simple. So tonight's the big night. It's really Super Tuesday tonight. Now, she's very unpopular with the far left because they recognize that she is the establishment. I mean, they're not stupid. They aren't. They know what they want. They want more transgender bathrooms. That's all that's on their mind. And although she'll give them more transgender bathrooms, they also know that she's working, you know, hand in glove with the big banks and the big Wall Street folks and the hedge funds who run the world. I mean, what are you, an idiot? Who do you think runs the world? The homeless guy down the street living in a shopping cart? No, it's the hedge funds, the offshore hedge funds where Kerry puts his money. They're running the world. Kerry Hines' family have millions invested in offshore tax havens. I'm shocked. Exclusive. Kerry and the Hines family have millions invested in offshore tax havens. Daily Caller, Richard Pollack, reporter. Again, this is great research. This is reportage. 11 offshore tax havens. Comes on the heels of the release of the Panama Papers, treasure trove, 11.5 million legal financial records, blah, blah, blah. So now 11 offshore tax havens for the Kerry Hines family. You talk hypocrisy. You knew he was a hypocrite, just by every time he opened his mouth, you knew. From the time he threw his medal over the fence in order to win the love of the leftists who hated America. And they name the offshore tax havens. All of them. Actually, it's a nice list. I'm looking into it. You know what I like about an article like this? It actually helps me do some financial planning. In other words, if Kerry Hines can put money into these offshore tax havens and not go to prison, maybe I should put some money into these tax havens. It looks like a good plan to me. I wonder what the minimum investment is in these funds. Fund for 250 yearly income, 50,000, 100,000 to a million, York European, Tiger Growth Equities. It's better than the bank earning less than 0%. It's better than mutual funds. Remember the age of the mutual funds? Everybody was selling them. There were guys selling those things. They would produce a certain percent. No more. They don't sell mutual funds. They don't make any money. That's where all the money is now. The guys who are really the buccaneers of the Wall Street war. They've kept her in the background, by the way, Hines. She used to do such brilliant, insane speeches. I loved it. Oh, we used to have so much fun. You notice that they dummied her up? She's seen as infrequently now as Al Sharpton, now the Democrat election is around. She used to be wonderful in her early days, Hines. All of my continental friends. And she spoke in Portuguese, French, Italian, all in one sentence. I loved it. She was such a literate person, but you knew underneath it all it was too much lycopene. The lycopene had gone to her head. I mean, he married her for her looks, that we know. We know that John Kerry married Teresa Hines for the looks, not for the ketchup fortune. Now, that's a given. And he married her for her brains. You know that. The investments were made during both Kerry's tenure in the Senate and in his present position as the nation's chief diplomat. So we see all this hypocrisy and lies and double talk coming out of both parties. So everyone's fed up. So half the country of people who are fed up of old men, actually there's no country for old men, so put it on, no country for young men either, by the way. That's another great story. There is no country for young men. I was reading an article this morning in the New York Post on the real reason millennials are broke. And I found out that millennials, I don't like the phrase, but okay, millennials are earning 20% less than their counterparts of a generation ago. You hear this? How do they live there? We're living in cardboard boxes in someone's apartment. And in 2000, the average 23-year-old male made $27,000 a year. By 2014, it was down to $23,000. The income of the average 29-year-old fell from $56,000 to $50,000. Both sets of figures adjusted for inflation. And as you'd expect, I hate the phrase young people. Was that a special, gene pool? Young people. Stupid. Young people working in arts and entertainment were hit the hardest with their pay down 26%. That's really hard to figure out. Arts and entertainment. They get coffee for someone who runs a website. They go to work for a news crew. You're supposed to start in the downstairs. The guy who runs Disney started in the mailroom. You're not supposed to make money when you're young. You're supposed to work your way up. Those with jobs in food service, hospitality, and retail were also forced to pinch pennies as their wages dived 16%. Millennials were... The report comes as the number of 20-somethings in New York skyrockets. When are they all going there? The percentage of the city's population made up of that age bracket jumped from 10 to 19%. That's a big jump between 2000 and 2014. So I don't understand this. If you can't make a living in New York, what are they going there for? It's the dream of making a living in New York and moving up. So in other words, you start at the bottom, you're not making much money, but you figure if you're smart and aggressive, you'll move up and you'll make a life for yourself. But if you're going to hang out till 3 o'clock in the morning getting stoned to marijuana, you'll be a bum when you're 40 the way you are at 23. You'll be the same bum at 40 that you are now. And who are you going to blame then? Donald Trump? He doesn't even drink, by the way. You know, how come that never came up in any of the conversations about him? When I first heard that Donald Trump didn't drink, I was extremely impressed. I admire people who don't drink. I really do. I myself do drink. And I admire those who don't drink. I don't drink to excess, but it's really not the issue. I never drink before, I say sundown. I like sundown. I don't like to drink when there's light out. I don't even like to eat when it's light out. I only like to sleep when it's light out when I'm not on the radio. But here's a man who is so sober, he doesn't drink at all because he saw the devastation that alcohol had wrought, I think, on his brother. I don't know the history of that one, but he's sober all the time. He sleeps very little. He'd be a great leader for that reason. He never, ever, ever loses focus, ever. Now, I know people who say he's idiotic because he babbles and he doesn't make sense and his syntax is wrong and there's no grammar. I get it. I've talked about it. I told you he speaks in shorthand, and unless you've worked with certain people who are super intelligent, you don't understand verbal shorthand. I do. I have someone in my family who's much smarter than me who speaks in shorthand. And unless you're used to it, you can easily make the assumption they're not as smart as you are because you speak perfect English. But beware of those who speak perfect English and enunciate and articulate a little too well. Anyway, I'm running short of time because I'm full of energy. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYC today. Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island. Trump is expected to sweep all of them. If Trump wins, for the sake of unity, to defeat Hillary, should Cruz drop out of the race? Yes or no? And thus far, we've been talking about the following. Some crypto statists in the media are justifying, nullifying the people's right to choose a candidate. I call them crypto statists because you can't call yourself a conservative at the same time saying that people shouldn't vote. What is the point of voting if your votes can be overridden by delegates? Okay. I haven't gotten to Obama going to Europe to scare the Brits into not leaving the EU. And he's got his entire legacy at stake. You should hear some of that sound, which I'll get to in the next half hour. WJR Mike, your vote counts on the Savage Nation. What's your opinion? Go ahead, please.
We should just completely get rid of the primaries. It's a circus anyway. I mean, the candidates are the clowns, the media is the ringleader, and you got your donkeys and your elephants.
So, who should elect the president then? Should we eliminate the vote as well?
I think we should have the general election, but if we just let the parties have their delegates elect their candidate for the party in July and keep the populace out of that whole thing.
Yeah, but if we did that, then people who are true outsiders could never get a chance to run and win anything.
If you get each party, if you actually give other parties a chance to...
No, you just said eliminate. You said eliminate primaries. So how would an outsider have a chance to even appear on the scene and win if you couldn't vote in a primary? He would never be picked by the delegates. It's a closed circuit. So I don't think that would work.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Oh, no, this girl burned out early because she was a bright flash of light. Whatever she was on, God bless her. Speaking of a bright flash of light, did you see this story? that a bright flash of light marks an incredible moment. Life begins when sperm meets egg. Human life begins in a bright flash of light. As a sperm meets an egg, scientists have shown for the first time, after capturing the astonishing fireworks on film, an explosion of tiny sparks erupts from the egg at the exact moment of conception. It's an amazing story. The scientist said to see the zinc radiate out in a burst from each human egg was breathtaking. Not only is it an incredible spectacle, highlighting the very moment that a new life begins, the size of the flash can be used to determine the quality of the fertilized egg. Well, okay, we can go into this at another time, because we all know that some people burn more brightly than others, and it could be related to the flash at the point of conception, when you think about that. We know that some people burn brighter than the others. Look at your sports stars, look at your entertainers, look at your scientists, look at some of your doctors, your lawyers. I mean, some burn brighter than others, despite what Bernie Sanders would have you believe. No, not all eggs are created equally. Not all embryos are created equally is what I'd like to say. No, it's just not true. Some start out with advantages. Maybe it's unfair. Maybe there's some way that the social engineers can figure out to make sure that sparks don't fly unfairly, and that everyone has no sparks, so they can be like drones, and so there'd be no special people except them. They would be special people. Now, I want to play a very special person for you right now. Here is our president, who's so special that the emperor goes to Europe after screwing up this country on a social level unlike anything anyone's ever seen in our lifetime. He goes to Europe to try and scare them into not leaving the European Union. And he gives them a speech now about inequality. Listen to clip number 4 in Europe.
If you're really concerned about inequality, if you're really concerned about the plight of workers, if you're a progressive, it's my firm belief that you can't turn inward. That's not the right answer.
Oh, no.
We have to keep increasing the trade and investment that supports jobs, as we're working to do between the United States and the EU.
What
we need to keep implementing reforms to our banking and financial systems so that the excesses and abuses that triggered the financial crisis never happen again. But we can't do that individually, nation by nation, because finance now is transnational. It moves around too fast. Mm-hmm. If we're not coordinating between Europe and the United States and Asia, then it won't work.
So he's trying to sell a bill of goods to progressives who know that they're getting screwed by his policies. They're on to him. So now he's saying, well, yeah, but you're not really getting screwed. You should really enjoy the fact that you're losing your job and the factories have been shipped overseas. Anyone who believes that as a progressive is the same type who believes conservatives would tell you that not voting is a sure sign of a fair system, that you shouldn't vote. In fact, I can take a speech and turn it around for what you're hearing from the crypto statists. If you're really concerned, about a power structure that's not responsive to the people, if you're really concerned about the plight of voters in America, if you're a conservative, it's my firm belief that you can't turn inward, that that's not the right answer. We have to keep disenfranchising voters. We have to keep working to make sure that voters' voices are not heard in order for the voters' voices to be heard. And then you'll be a perfect talk show host. You could say both things at once and then say that you're saying nothing. That's exactly why I'm telling you I've had enough of this garbage. I'm not going to sit by and listen to it anymore. Either your vote counts or it doesn't count. Don't tell me the system works fine after getting to power by saying the system didn't work fine. Ted Cruz came to power by saying that the system was rotten, it was corrupt, he was the outsider, he was going to change things. So now he's saying he loves the system that works for him. So, okay, irrespective of that, if Ted Cruz was way ahead, we wouldn't be having this discussion. He's not way ahead because he didn't win the popular votes in the states, except a few. Trump did. Trump's going to be the clear winner today, 5 places. I'm asking again, why doesn't Cruz drop out? Why? And unite with Trump and make sure that Hillary doesn't win. That would make sense to me. Why shouldn't you agree with that? Mathematically, Cruz cannot win. The only thing Cruz can do is one of two things right now. Destroy Donald Trump's chances of running for office and defeating Hillary Clinton, or making sure that Hillary Clinton does win. That's the only thing left for Cruz right now, or stealing the nomination entirely through backroom dealings at the convention. It's that simple. So I don't like any of those choices. The only choice I like is that he drops out, unites with Cruz, and they shake hands and they come out fighting against the progressives who have done so much damage to this nation. KLIF, haven't heard from you in a while. Allie, on line six, go ahead, please. What's your opinion? What topic?
Hi, Michael. I'm a long-time listener. I've been listening with my dad since I was 13, so it's great to talk to you.
Wow.
I'm calling because I think that, you know, why not? Why can't we allow Trump and Cruz to duke it out until the end? You know, I think that some of our greatest presidents have been elected because of this process, like Eisenhower and Lincoln. And, you know, I think that if Trump is clearly the better candidate, then, you know, he doesn't necessarily have the numbers of the delegates necessary right now either. So if he's truly the best candidate, then later on when they duke it out as it gets closer and closer.
Well, I'll tell you why I say this, because you know that Cruz cannot win mathematically. Isn't that correct? He cannot get anywhere near the number of delegates necessary to win the primary. Is that correct or incorrect?
That's correct, sir.
Okay, so let's pause for a minute. Who can possibly win the right amount? That would be Trump. So the only thing that Cruz can do is damage Trump before the general election. And we all agree that we don't want Trump damaged any further by Cruz or anyone else. We need to stop the backbiting. We need to stop the backfighting. We need to stop the infighting. And we need to move ahead against the progressives like Hillary Clinton. That's why I say this. It's time to put the swords down, unite, circle the wagons, and aim at the real enemy. The real enemy are those people who have done this to us, and she wants to do it again. I don't want Obama 3 and Hillary. It's Obama in a skirt if she wins.
Well, I understand.
All right, so I tell you what, you're very thoughtful. I don't think I'm going to change your mind on this. I've given you my opinion, which is why it's my show. It's the Bully Pulpit Call Talk Radio. We're allowed to give you our opinions, and we're allowed to disagree with each other. But the question remains, the only thing that Cruz can do is damage Trump right now. He can't really win. And why would he want to damage Trump unless he's working secretly with the Republican establishment to make sure that Hillary wins? That's a very, very troublesome possibility, but a very real one. Allie, wouldn't you agree?
I agree, but I just don't think that Cruz's record matches anything with the Republican establishment. You know, with his filibuster, you know, Mitch McConnell and Boehner were going behind his back and trying to attack his character, and he's proven that he's gone against them. So I wouldn't.
That's very good. We're not knocking Cruz, but I don't want Cruz to destroy our only chance to defeat the progressives. And that's what he's doing. He's only right now fighting against Trump, not fighting against Hillary. What have you last heard Cruz say anything against Hillary? I haven't heard anything. Have you?
I've been studying for finals all week, so I don't know if he's said anything.
Did you take them already? Have you taken your exams?
Yes, I'm actually driving back right now. I just took my last one.
What did you take it in today? What was it in?
Intro to Spanish Phonetics was today, and Organizational Communication.
What's your major?
Communications.
Good for you. Well, you certainly have a very good radio voice, and I wish you well. Do you want a copy of Government Zero or Teddy and Me?
Government Zero, please.
Okay, that's very sweet. Okay, you stay on the line. And it's okay to disagree with me. I'm not a liberal. I accept disagreement, okay? KBET, Jerry, thanks for holding so long. Line number seven, Jerry, go ahead, please.
Hello, yes, I'm a retired Marine, and I appreciated everything you said today about what an evil human being George W. Bush is.
Well, you put it in a more direct Marine-like way than I did. I didn't say he was evil. I just said he was a disaster.
Well, in 2003, my friends and I sat around, and we talked about to go into war in Iraq was wrong. And I spent all 2006 in Iraq. And all I saw was us not trying to win the war, but just spending money lining the pockets of Bush and Cheney cronies. And when I got back, I lost a lot of Republican friends because I told them all, I said, I could punch either one of those guys in the face. And it's not PTSD. I was just angry at the waste.
Well, Jerry, let's analyze what I actually wrote in 2005 and 6 in Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. I didn't know how it would turn out, but I said, if it turns out that Iran is the great winner here and they expand their empire to the Euphrates, I said this will be the greatest military blunder in history. And on top of that, do you know how many Marines I raised money for who George Bush imprisoned for doing their job correctly in Iraq? Many. I don't get credit for it. I'm not looking for credit. These were men who decided to live instead of die. These are men who shot first instead of getting shot first. And as a result of their doing their job, as Marines should do, which is kill the enemy instead of being killed or injured, George Bush had them court-martialed. He put them in prison. Some of them are still locked up today in some of the most horrendous prisons you could ever imagine. They're treated far worse than the Muslim killers in Guantanamo, and you probably know that. Some of them are locked up in Fort Leavenworth, which is an almost medieval prison. And all they did, their only job that they did, was killing the enemy instead of being killed by the enemy. You know that. I know that, and I work very hard to make sure people try to help them. Some of them are rotting away in these prisons, like Devil's Island.
Monic, you mentioned Iran, because I'll tell you, I worked at a fairly high level with the Department of the Interior, Ministry of the Interior, and when I was there, we quietly discussed and we quietly saw all these Iraqis who'd come in and had taken over the government had been in exile in Iran during the Saddam's reign. So they were all Iranian sympathizers. One of them looked at me, and we had lots of problems in Al-Anbar with the Sunnis, and one of them looked at me and said, all the Sunni pigs should die. So where we are today, it could have been easily predicted if Bush and Cheney weren't lining their pockets way back when I was there 10 years ago.
Well, whether they were lining their pockets directly or through their donors is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is I saw the way the war was being prosecuted, that the big winner might be Iran, and I was terrified by it, and I wrote about it in a book which was really quite good, which is Liberalism as a Mental Disorder, where chapter one is about more patent, less patent leather, and what we saw was patent leather, not General Patton. And I asked, how exactly does an Abrams tank tread lightly, because that's what Bush wanted. And then I quoted Patton himself, who said, no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor, dumb bastard die for his country. Unfortunately, George Bush didn't see the movie.
Well, one final point. I am actually a Republican delegate to the Nevada State Convention in a couple of weeks, so it should be an interesting time. If anything, I'll probably call you after that and let you know how the fireworks went.
Well, let me ask you something about the fireworks. Are you for Trump or Cruz?
You know, it's funny you said that, because I am a constitutional conservative, and I tell you, in one respect, I kind of like some of the things that Cruz says, but I was born in New York, and when he made that New York cop comment, I knew what he was saying, but I said, could you be a more stupid politician that's an alien? It ain't the fourth largest state in the country, you moron.
What, New York, the New York values thing?
Yeah, that New York values thing. It's like, I mean, you don't make a short comment like that, a broad brush comment like that, and then try to go back and explain it. It was a stupid thing to say.
Well, he sure got Trump in New York, didn't he?
he got
Trump primarily because of that.
And I'll tell you, my most important thing when I go to this convention, if I have a chance to speak anywhere, is I'm like, I would vote for a rock in the street before I'd vote for Hillary Clinton. And unless you all start understanding that and coming to grips with that, then we're never going to get anywhere.
Jerry, stay on the line. I'm sending you Government Zero. I'm going to read you one paragraph from a book that you can't even buy. If you think I'm just being mercenary about it, you're wrong. I wrote this in 05 under Supersizing Iran in that book. Here's where the military miscalculation factors into the picture. Mr. Bush and his band of neocons have had this ambitious fantasy of transforming Iraq into America Light. However, visions of a democracy in Baghdad may be short-sighted. The Iraqi Shiites are the majority in parliament, representing 60% of the population, and they want an Islamic republic. So it may be that Bush's war will have inadvertently created a super Iran. How? Operation Iraqi Freedom is in effect creating a Shiite nation, Iraq, next door to another Shiite nation, Iran, who happens to be a founding member of the Axis of Evil. Okay, so believe me, I've studied these things pretty carefully. And in Liberalism and a Mental Disorder, I foresaw what might be the future of the Middle East as I see what's happening right now in the civil war going on inside the Republican Party. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. All right, we got five primaries tonight: Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island. Trump is expected to win. It's going to be a sweep. My opinion, Cruz should announce with Kasich tomorrow that it's mathematically impossible for them to win. They're not going to block the people's choice. They're going to join forces with Donald Trump to make certain that progressivism is stopped in the United States of America before it's too late. That would be a great day in America, but I don't think I'm going to see that. Because you have a career politician named Ted Cruz who is going to use, I would say, the system to get what he wants. May 3rd, another primary, Indiana. May 10th, Nebraska. May 17th, Oregon. May 24th, Washington State. June 7th, and that's it. Right here in California. And, God, June 7th, California, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, South Dakota. What a day that's going to be. I may just take a vacation on June 8th. Boy, when's your wedding, Robert? Because I think I'll take a week off when you get married. That week, you see that I have to be on the air. But once this is over at that point, I mean, I need a break from all of this. I don't know how much you can take the people. Because as Mark Twain said, if voting made any difference, they wouldn't let us do it. And as you know, I'm a big fan of Samuel Clemens. And that's the story today on the Savage Nation. Oh, yes, Hillary supporters were accused of taking down Bernie Facebook pages by posting pornography on Bernie's site. Thank you, Hillary. Thank you, Hillary. Just what America needs.